Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that takes some weight off your plate, puts some pep in your step, and reminds you that you are loved. I am your host today, Cameron the Cree Davis, recording live from my bedroom in scintillating Sacramento, California, where it is currently, 6:23:24, and it is 102 outside. That's very, very, very exciting. It's actually hell on earth, and I fucking hate it very much. But if you follow us on any type of social media, or you're friends with us, or somehow, some way, you know us outside of listening to this show, you obviously know that it's going to just be me today. I know everybody's upset about that, because sitting here and listening to me talk is like, you know, what would be the equivalent of what, nails on a chalkboard, I guess? I mean, because I just sit here and ramble, you know, randomly saying things like I know what the fuck I'm talking about, but you know, they still get plays, so some people seem to like to listen to me. But congratulations are in order. First and foremost, let me just say from the bottom of my heart, congratulations to my partner Henry and his beautiful wife Kristen on their marriage in Greece. I have been privy to you know, some pictures and some updates, and then, you know, they've been pretty active on social media getting that out to everybody as well. Absolutely stunning over there. That's a country that I'm gonna have to get to one day, because Greece looks like absolute tits, dude. I mean, it's just like, looks like sunshine, not a cloud in the sky, and delicious food, and all sorts of fun things to be had. But it looks like they are having a fantastic time out there. Looks like the wedding was perfect. Henry met up with Dre out there, and Dre married him. You know, it's kind of weird seeing a wedding where it's just, you know, two people standing there. I imagine it was a little awkward for, you know, Kristen, because she's done the whole conventional wedding thing before. And so to run away and elope, kind of had to feel weird, like, you know, a polar opposite. But I want to shout out Hen, because, you know, this is a huge life event, man. And I'm just so happy for him. Excuse me. And I'm so happy for Kristen. And I'm happy that they found each other. They complement each other so well. And I wish them nothing but a lifetime of happiness, and I firmly believe that it actually will be a lifetime. They know how to communicate, and, you know, there's going to always be bumps in the road, but I have a feeling that they have that type of relationship that, you know, isn't going to just give up, which seems to be, you know, the norm these days, where everybody, you know, you hit some sort of adversity, and then it's, oh, I'm getting a divorce. All right, yep, fuck it, I'm sick of you. But what the hell do I know? I'm not living with everybody who just says, fuck it, I'm getting a divorce. That's just kind of my observation, that I see a lot of people, you know, getting married. And then, you know, what is it, a few years down the road, as long as nothing egregious is happening, you know, seems like, boom, all right, we're getting a divorce. And, you know, that sometimes kids are involved and all that jazz. I'm a big believer in the sanctity of marriage. I think if you're going to marry somebody, you want to make sure that it's the right one. I know I did that diligently. I dodged a few scuds though in the past. I think I almost tried to marry one of my other ex-girlfriends, and, you know, who knows what that would have turned out like. But regardless, I think that they are going to last a lifetime, and that's what I hope. That's what I hope for the both of them. And, you know, what's greater than that? It kind of sucks that, you know, I wasn't able to be out there, or, you know, family members were all invited. I think Hen said that on the last episode last week before he took off, was, you know, everybody was invited, but, you know, I just didn't have, you know, 7-8 racks to throw on a trip to Greece. I wish I did. I mean, that would be pretty cool. But I was there in spirit. And, you know, there was a part of this little ceremony that really kind of warmed my heart. You know, I made Kristen and Henry my little rosaries. That's my little craft thing. You know, we've talked about our ADHD on here and how Hen and I are kind of similar. We'll get on things and then all of a sudden, you know, we'll lose interest and then we'll come back in and we're super into it. Well, as of lately, I've been making these really cool, pretty rosaries. But Kristen asked for a blue one for her something blue in for their wedding. And what was really cool was I saw in the pictures and in little pre-wedding videos, you know, she had the handmade chain, you know, rosary that I made, you know, wrapped around her hand. And then I saw pictures where Henry's handed her the flowers and, you know, there it is. And you know, to be able to make something that wasn't a complete pile of shit and for the, you know, them to decide like, hey, yeah, let's put this in our very special day over here in what looks like heaven on earth. Really just kind of warmed my heart. And I just wanted to thank them again for that, because you know what, regardless of how long it took me to make that fucking thing, I mean, you didn't have to do that. So, I was there in spirit. Hen was, you know, rocking my socks that I gave him for my wedding when he was out here, brought my little toiletry bag that I gave him. So I was there, I was in Greece. Little side note, I went to this restaurant out here in Sacramento, today. It was called Nick the Greek. And so I felt like I was there in spirit. And the problem was, though, I ate this really delicious bowl, and now I'm sitting here with massive indigestion, dude. Like, I got to get some Pepto. I went and I got like a ginger drink. I'm a little fucked up over here. Kreeman's not having a really good time with the old Nick the Greek bowl. Food was delicious. Maybe it was just, you know, something with the tzatziki sauce or something like that. But I'm on the verge of either shitting my pants, throwing up, or both. So it's all fine and well, though. We'll keep pushing on because the ship goes on. So yeah, long story short, congratulations to Henry and Kristen. I wish I was there. I wish Henry was here so that I'm not sitting in my bedroom talking to myself. So what am I going to get into today? So I sat here and I was sitting thinking, and because I had a guest planned, Henry kind of lined it up because he's the man, and Thursday was our normal recording day around here, and I couldn't do it because Ash had to get into the office and childcare and yada 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 yada. So I had to push it, and then we decided to push it to today, which is Sunday. And then the only time that our guest could do it was, you know, 9:30, and I was like, oh, okay, 9:30, you know, I can do that. That works early in the morning, fantastic. But then I realized that she was on East Coast time, and your boy here was not going to be tracking an unedited episode of Rude Dude because Henry's gone and does all the editing at 6:30 a.m. I think I did that with Brandon's episode way back in the day, and that was a special exception, and I wasn't really on top of my game. I think I drank like 27 caffeine bubblies just to do that episode. So hopefully we can pull something off next week, because I don't think Hen's gonna be able to even get on here. Forrest was supposed to be here. He left me hanging. Goddamn Forrest, I'm pissed off at you, Forrest. I'm coming up there, by the way. I'll be in Idaho on the 27th. Okay, on the 22nd to the 27th or something in between those days. And I'm going to kick you square in the nuts for leaving me hanging here talking to myself in my fucking bedroom, bro. Shout out Chris Foss. I'll see your ass up there too. But back to the matter at hand. I was sitting here thinking, because there's this phenomena that I like to, I guess that's what I can call it, that I see in people in recovery. And what I'm trying to explain here is the phenomenon of I've changed. And what I mean by that is somehow, some way, the amount of time that I have accrued has somehow rewired my brain and has somehow changed me internally. And therefore, I can go back to using. I've seen it with so many people that, you know, hey, times were different. Hey, this was going on. Hey, that was going on. And this and that aren't happening now. So somehow I'm going to be able to use again and it'll be okay. And I find it super interesting how easily we can forget. I think this is more of a common deal for people with, like, you know, a substantial amount of time. And I'll give anybody getting even one day is a substantial amount of time in my eyes. But let's say, you know, ballpark, you know, so anybody with, you know, a year, 1, 2, 3 to 10, if not more. I think we can forget what it was and what it is. And our addiction can come in and trick us. You know, you hear us reference the devil gipper. It's that little, it's the little imaginary gipper that's on our shoulder. Or at least that's how I envision him. That's sitting here trying to tell us that, hey, pal, you know, when you were doing all that drinking or you were doing all that drugging, listen to me, I sound like a fucking 90-year-old man. You're doing all that boozing and drugging, boy. When you were using, you know, there was chaos and it was crazy. And look at you now. Look at everything that you have. Look at all these things. Look, I mean, you learned all these skills. You can handle life better now. Why not come back and hang out with me for a little bit? Why not come back and hang out with me for a little bit? And me personally, I just don't understand it. I mean, I understand it, but I don't. And maybe it's because I'm just hyper aware of the pain and the fucking bullshit that I went through in active addiction, especially at the end, that the thought of going back to that, or the thought of bringing everyone around me back to that, is absolutely abhorrent. It's just not a fucking option, dude. It's just not an option. You know, I was talking with Ash before I recorded this today. We were out running errands, and I was like, you know, I'm going to bring this up just because, you know, it's kind of on my mind. And she looks at me and she goes, well, did you ever think about that? And I go, well, to be completely honest, yes and no. Yes and no. I'm not going to sit here and try to fucking pontificate like I'm some holier than thou sober person. When in reality, ready, those thoughts that I'm explaining happen to me. They do. Hey, Cameron, you know, dude, you know, you were out of control. You were in unhealthy relationships. You know, you lost some jobs. You were kind of just down and out, and you just didn't know how to handle it. So, you know, I bet you could probably have, you know, 1 or 15 paps and, you know, still be a good husband and a father. I bet you that would be okay. You know, maybe we'll just start, you know, having a couple shots of high class New Amsterdam, you know, and you know that everything will be fine. Your wife will be happy. Everything will be okay. You can take the edge off, and you know, nothing will change because now you know how to deal with life because you learned it through the steps. You know, those are some of the thoughts that I'm trying to explain here, or at least that's a shitty example of what the fuck I'm talking about. No, dude, no, it's not a fucking option, bro. It's not an option. And the reason it's not an option for me is because the people that I have seen that have gone out under this guise of I'm a different person now are back to the same person that they once were. And it starts slowly. From my experience, some people go on fucking massive runs and are right back where they were, like smack dab, bing, bang, bong, here we are. We're right back to where the fuck we were, no matter if we had fucking 7,000 days or 3 trillion. You know, it's like, oh, hey, look, I relapse. I'm on heroin again, and I'm fucking in the streets, and my life's on fire. But from what I've seen, the more common route is the guise of control in this scenario. You know, hey, I think I'm changed. I think I can handle it. I think I can control it. So I'm going to have some. And then they have the slip And then lo and behold, you know, it's not that bad. All right. Like, oh, hey, look, I didn't get arrested. I didn't crash my car. I'm a little fucking hungover or whatever. But look, I kind of did that. All right. Cool. And then, you know, the next time happens and the next time, and they set these, imaginary boundaries with themselves. I'm speaking from like a personal experience with a close family member. I'm only going to have 3 beers. Okay. I'm only going to have 3 beers and I'm only going to drink on the weekends. Yep. Okay. That sounds great. That's fantastic. Great. Good luck. Well, what happens? Okay. Those 3 beers on a weekend then turn into, you know, what is it? 3 weeks down the road, 4 beers, then 5, then 6. Then a tough day on Monday happens. Then, you know, a Wednesday was a little rough. And then, you know, hey, it's Friday. You know, oh, hey, here we go. Oh, now I'm back. Now I've had 10 beers on the weekend, and you get where I'm going with this. And it slowly, 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 but surely progresses. And lo and behold, you are not fucking different. Nothing has changed. I've said this ad nauseum around here. That's another good saying that I like to say around here. Everybody sits here and, you know, I know Austin likes to critique my vernacular, but I do like the phrase ad nauseum, because I believe in it. Nothing has changed. Nothing. You have convinced yourself that something has changed, but nothing has. And then therefore you have thrown out every single thing that you have worked so hard to attain, the thing that you were running away from, the things that you were trying to handle, all those things slowly start creeping right on back. They slowly start creeping right on back. And it starts with the relationships. It starts with the trust. It starts with, you know, your mental health. It all just takes that slow but steady dive right back to fucking shit town. And it's a sad sight to see. It's a sad sight to see. And I guess the point I'm trying to get at is for us people in recovery, when you get these thoughts and, you know, like I said, I've said this too, at nauseum, like my cousin Matt, oh, I never think about drinking. Okay, well, that's cool. Well, all right. But if thoughts like this come in, hey, you know, dude, I got like fucking like, you know, I got like 10 years. I got 8 years. I got, you know, 12 years. I could probably control it. I could probably do it every once in a while. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. And you're having these thoughts. And what I implore you to do, just like we talk about with me and I talk about the anxiety shit around here with intrusive thoughts that come around, you know, mine I've shared are always, hey, I should hang myself from this tree or whatever the fuck it may be. Always wild ass thoughts. These are the same thing, right? These are the same thing because they bring kind of like a jolt, right? Like they feel gross. If you've done any substantial work in your recovery or tried to change your life in any which way and turned it around, when those things pop up, they kind of go, oh, that doesn't feel good. Oh, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. But then, you know, if you entertain it for a little bit, you can convince yourself. You can. I see it all the time. You know what? I may be different. I just might be. There could be a chance. Just a chance. You know, and for full transparency, you know, me, this is something I have to work on, right? Because I feel like I'm fucking preaching here, but here's something that I always tell Ash, right? And I've told Henry this and things like this, you know, this is still me holding on to my addiction. And then ready, here goes the fucking red flags for Cameron. Woo, woo, woo! Alert. Don't worry. I'm not relapsing. I have no intention of drinking, you know, anything's possible, but I feel good about my program and where I'm at. So this is just a small little truth about me. I always like to tell Ash, I think, what was it, you know, a while back, you know, I guess when I'm 85 and the kids are retired and I got grandkids, I may try to have a PAPS again. I may. In my imaginary land, that if I'm alive that long, I will drink again on my massive property somewhere where I'm catching fat bass and I have 67 Labrador retrievers and maybe I'm growing fucking 500 plants of cron and everybody's taken care of. And I did my deed and I was sober my whole life and my kids grew up. They never saw me, you know, being drunk and I achieved all the goals. My wife, you know, got me in my prime and now my penis doesn't work. And, you know, all these things. So then I'll just do it then. And I sit back and I go, what the fuck kind of thinking is that, dude? What the fuck kind of thinking is that? And then do you really think that, like, okay, let's calculate that. What would that be? Fuck. That'd be like, yeah, you know, like 57 years of sobriety. Yeah, I bet you that's not happening, dude. I bet you that's not happening. And, you know, if the thought of even doing it now is, you know, repulsive, I don't think 57 years of sobriety is gonna take me out. But who knows? So if we're alive and 85, you can find me on my cron farm out there with my magical pond that I won't have, catching my imaginary fish with my 27 dogs, and we can drink Pabst and see if we can't get arrested or something. It'll be fun. But the point I'm trying to get across is, in the longest fucking way possible, is recognize what those thoughts are, see them for what they are, a bold-faced lie that your brain and your addiction is trying to feed you. The old devil gipper is trying to it's trying to get you, man. It could be some sort of stressor in your life. It could be, you know, it could be pretty much nothing. You know, I've heard all kinds of excuses. Fuck, man, I woke up and, you know, the sun was shining and I just said, fuck it. Now, I don't believe that, you know, you can just wake up and say the sun was shining and you just said, fuck it. I like to think there's some prerequisites, but, you know, you're probably facing some sort of trial. But when the fuck are we not? That's the real fucking question. When the fuck are we not? You know, it's always something. It's always something. And are you going to fold because, like, you think you're changed and somehow this trial is somehow insurmountable? Like, it's just impossible for me to get through this one. And plus, I'm changed. I'm different. You know, I'm a changed man. I'm a changed woman. I'm different now. So, you know, fuck it. You know, sun's out. Let's get after it. But recognize it for what it is. Recognize it for what it is. And then go back into memory imagination land. Just go back to it. Just one of your favorite darkest moments. You know, close your eyes and go, you know, that doesn't look very attractive at all. At all. It just doesn't. And then, you know, maybe you could be like, oh, you know what? It wasn't that bad. All right. And then we'll close our eyes again. We'll go, okay. Yes. If we're doing this in Cameron's example, yes. Laying on the kitchen floor, not even knowing how we got there. It's fantastic. Yes. Contemplating suicide. Fantastic. Yes. Getting punched in the face by homeless people and having broken noses. Yes. Passing out in gas station parking lots with 27 cops behind you and fire department and paramedics in your car while you're blacked out at 11 o'clock in the morning. Yes. Everything. Somehow those things aren't going to happen again because I'm a changed man. Okay. And those are just a few small examples. All right. But when you can do that, you can really kind of rope yourself back in and kind of see what it is, man. What it is, dude. It's all a fucking lie that you're telling yourself. So if the gipper's coming for you, the old devil gipper, as we like to call him around here, you know, trying to convince you that somehow you're different now. Wild hot take here coming from the Kreeran and from everybody in the rooms. You know, I came from 12-step program. A lot of our listeners are 12-step programs. If you don't do that, that's fine. We're not, whatever works for anybody around here. Everybody in the room sees it a thousand times, you know. He thought he was cured. There we go. You heard it from Randall Brown, one of our best episodes. You know, hey, Randall, was it any better out there? You know, because, you know, that was one of the greatest lines. Fuck no, it wasn't. It's all a lie, man. And he gave it. He gave into it, and he learned, and he's sober now. God bless his soul. You know what I mean? So when we're doing that, brings me to my other point here. When we're in this, you know, hypothetical, hey, I'm a changed person, and everything's, you know, cakes and fucking pies, and somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to do this now. Another thing I implore everybody to do, and something I do when I have these wild, wacky thoughts, is I like to look at where I'm at recovery-wise, and where I'm at with my sobriety, and where I'm at mentally, and where do I need to tap in? Where do I need to tap in? Who do I need to talk to? Do I need to go to a meeting? You know, and this is all individual. That's the freedom of recovery, is that we get to decide when we need these things. And you can either listen to the internal pull, or you can either not. And that is up to you. And you get to play that Russian roulette game, right? So if I'm sitting around here and I'm getting all squirrely, right? Every time I go to the liquor store to pick up my fucking can of cancer, I'm paying attention to the liquor a little too much, right? Prime example is I'm looking at it, and the Gipper's on my shoulder, and he's telling me, hey, buddy, you know, we're changed now. Yeah. I should probably, in an ideal world, if that is happening, I should probably go, ooh, you know, that's not normal nowadays, right? Like, I'm working towards 7 years. You know, that doesn't really happen, you know, randomly, except for like the random fucking stupid thoughts that come around every once in a while. I should probably tap in. I should probably tap in. Now, in the beginning, you know, that was way more consistent. That was way more consistent. And I'll be the first to admit that, you know, and this will be no shocker, be like, yeah, of course this isn't a shocker, pal. You're talking about your fucking 85-year-old fucking weed farm with fucking 27 dogs and fucking imaginary fish. Well, I, you know, I haven't been into a meeting in a while. I haven't been to a meeting in a while. But the key to that is I don't feel like I need one right now. I don't feel like I need one right now. And that is up to my own discretion, right? So it is my responsibility to know when I need a meeting and when I don't. And my wife is on board with that. And, you know, if I come to her and I go, hey, I have to hit a meeting, I'm going to hit a meeting. You know what I mean? And only I know when that is. Only I know when that is, right? Or, hey, I got to call my sponsor. Or, hey, I got to call Hen. Or, hey, I gotta take a fucking walk. Or, oh, hey, I gotta zone out here and bend these fucking little eye hooks for this rosary at 90 degree angles and then bend it backwards for fucking an hour. I gotta sit down and I gotta do some meditating. I gotta pray. I gotta do something. You know what I mean? I gotta tap back in. And then what I like to do is I gotta try to do some searching. You know, if something like that is happening, I gotta go and do some digging, like, hey, what is going on? What is happening? You know, what is bugging me? You know, and when you can sit back, and it's kind of hard to have, you know, any moments of silence if you're a family man like me. My life is fucking 24/7 go, 24/7. From the moment I open my eyes, it's usually, you know, 10 minutes of silence, one kid is up, and then bing, bang, bong. If it's, in, you know, Monday through Friday, it is absolute fucking chaos in this house. You know, we've got a one-year-old and a fucking going on a five-year-old. It's crazy. If you are a parent of children through that age, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so crying kids, dogs, cats, meows, and fucking barks, scratching, clawing, crying, choking on fucking graham crackers, this, that, that, and third, you know, can get a little nutty sometimes. So sometimes that could be the issue, right? Be like, fuck me, man. I just, like, goddamn, like, can everybody just shut the fuck up for 5 seconds? And then, you know, I can start getting snippy around here. I can start getting snippy. And then if I don't do something about that, like, aka go to a meeting, call a friend, take a 5 seconds, you know, communicate it to my partner, to my wife, and say, hey, I gotta take a second. You know, that makes the old approach of the devil gipper a lot easier if I don't take care of it that way, right? because then I'm just stacking more shit onto myself. I'm not decompressing it. I'm not handling it properly by taking a few seconds, by doing what I need to do, aka meetings, yada, 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 like I've been fucking saying. And then those wild and wacky thoughts of I'm different and this is somehow going to be, you know, the greatest idea I've ever had. They start carrying a little more weight. Right. And if you disagree with me on that, you're wrong. I mean, it's just the fucking facts, dude. It's just the facts. You know, you can get run ragged. You can get run ragged by, you know, getting caught up in the fucking rat race of work and life and kids and fucking money and bills and cooking dinner and wiping asses and this and that and that and this. And, you know, that old lifestyle of not giving a fuck and checking out for a second can seem a little fucking attractive if you don't fucking, you know, get a few seconds for yourself. And hey, yeah, Cameron, that would be great. I'm a single mom. I don't have a fucking minute. Well, you do. It's just probably when they're asleep, you know. And, you know, hats off to you if you are a single mom. You guys are the saints on earth, for real. Like, I mean, I don't know how anybody does that. I know this is like a little side tangent, but I don't know how anybody does that. I have to watch both the kids for, you know, more than like 2 hours by myself. I'm a fucking nervous wreck, dude. I'm like fucking so stressed out around here. It's insane, bro. Like, it's fucking nuts. Like, I sit here and like the moment Ash gets home, be like, here, take these kids, dude. I gotta go. I gotta go sit over here and I gotta do some breathing, because that is no fucking joke. No fucking joke. And so whatever it may be, the point I'm trying to get across is know where you're at, know where you were, and excuse me, find where you need to be to get back to your happy place, right? And, you know, anybody in any sort of substantial recovery, let me get a drink of my liquid death lime sparkling water, by the way, which is the absolute worst flavor that they make. So sit tight. This is a fun episode, is it not? I mean, we're 32 minutes in. It's just me. And we're going to have a little drink break. So stand by. And now I've completely lost where I was. Yes, it's really that simple. But I guess you get the point I'm trying to make is, what does it look like? Where are you at? How did I get here? And what do I need to do so that these wild thoughts that are going to come don't carry as much weight? So, like I said, yeah, I haven't been doing a meeting in a long time. Been a long time. But I sit and I talk recovery with Henry weekly, you know, if not daily, you know what I mean? Like I talk to Henry every day. Okay. So if I had something bothering me, you know, recovery wise, I have people that I can reach out to, that I can talk to at the drop of a dime. And I am aware of that. I'm cognizant of that. And that is why, you know, by the blessings of God, that I'm still sober today. Right. Because I'm able to have that awareness of where I'm at and what needs to be done so that I'm not doing all those wild and wacky things that I explained earlier in this episode. So if you're struggling, if you're somehow thinking you're different, you're not. And, you know, reach out to us. Reach out to me. You can send me a message. I'll talk to you. You know, you may not like what I have to say, but I'll definitely just even be an ear if you need someone to talk to. Hence the same way that goes out to everybody, all of our listeners, whatever it is that's bothering you. It may not even be recovery based. You're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling with depression. What's bothering you? You know, I'll be your shoulder to cry on. I will. I'll be like Simon and Garfunkel. Like a bridge over troubled. Yeah, you like that? See, that's good. That's good. But for real, reach out to us. This brings me on to my next little fun little topic. You know, Henry dropped it on the Kristen episode while I was out throwing up or whatever the fuck was going on with me. About me buying a $15 penny. Okay. So I have a new absolutely crippling addiction. And it is the Whatnot app. Whatever you do, you know, I was making fun of the spinners in West Virginia last week. I have no right to even talk shit to these people because now I'm over here bidding on ancient coins. But hey, man, you know, I at least get to get them. You know what I mean? Like, at least I'm not like spinning on a phone slot. Here's me justifying it. I don't spin it on a phone slot and then lose the money. So what I do is I get on this app and I look for these like ancient Roman coins, which I, or like whatever. And I bid on them and it's super easy to do. It's like swiping right on fucking Tinder. And I got all kinds of fucking coins coming in now. And I'm absolutely fucking addicted to it. It's out of control, bro. Like, what do I have coming here? Let's just take a quick little look, just for some full transparency, like anybody gives a shit. What did I buy the other day? I bought a coin from a random Italian guy who was streaming at the Vatican. You know, me being a Catholic, so there we go. That was cool. I bought that. I did buy the other day, I bought a Roman provincial, which was striked in 41 to 69 AD, which is really rad, actually, when you think about it. And it's cool because you get to hold it. But it's an issue for Octavian's victory versus Caesar's assassins, 42 BC. It was struck at the Philippi Macedon Mint. Super dope. Then I have a random Great Britain fucking coin coming. Like, God knows why I bought that. And then one of the really cool ones, like anybody really cares what the fuck I'm talking about here. I bought an ancient Judean one. It's like the Hasmonean Kings. Called a widow's mite. This is all genuine shit too. Like, you know, been graded at 135 to 37 BC. So that's going to be fucking cool as hell to actually have. I got some samurai money, you know, from the samurai era. All this type of crazy shit. But the problem is dude, like, I want to buy them all now. Like, I want them all. Like, I'm some fucking, there was an estate sale over here in the neighborhood the other day. And I was like, yo, are there any coins here? Like, wait, who the fuck am I, bro? Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I'm over here. I'm coin guy. I got them locked away in a little safe over here. They're all safe and shit. Like, and I got my little passcode. So, Coin Cree, dude, do not download that app if you like cool little trinkets or coins or sports cards. And that's going to bring me to my next rant. By the way, I have never been more fucking pissed off at past Cameron than I was the other day on this stupid fucking app. Okay, I got on like this random Pokemon card stream, right? I guess that's what they call it on there, a stream. And I'm watching people pay $300 for first edition. Now, we're elder millennials, you know, Hen and I. So I'm 36, Hen's 36. You know, when old Pokemon was coming out, you know, it was all the rage, right? I had all the cards. I had first edition fucking, you know, Charizard holographics. I had it all, dude. I had them all, right? I'm watching people pay $300 for just standard ass like a Diglett card. And if anybody knows what the fuck I'm talking about, like, and they're like hyped up about it. Like, they're like, oh, you got a motherfucking Diglett, bro. And like everyone's super turned up. This person just paid $300. Dude, I literally was sitting here and I was like, bro, I must have been sitting on fucking millions, bro. Like millions. I have no idea where those cards are. They're gone. Actually, I think my brother took them and sold them, to be honest with you. Fuck you, Justin. But for real, dude, like this was, I was literally sitting there at my desk and I was just looking for like 5 seconds and I was like, this is fucking out of control, dude. This is out of control. I could be retired right now if I would have held on to those goddamn Pokemon cards. I mean, absolutely out of fucking control. So if you have Pokemon cards, just give them to me, all right? Don't worry about it. You don't need them. And old Kreeran here will take care of them. You know, I'll sell them back to you on Whatnot for a great price. Your standard edition Diglett for, you know, $600 or something like that. Okay. That sounds good. All right. Fantastic. What else? I had a fun little moment today and I'll wrap up here shortly. If you've been listening this long, thank you. Thank you. I know it's now gotten random. We're talking about fucking ancient coins and Pokemon cards, but This is what happens when you get Cameron sitting here by himself. So I went to Lowe's today with my wife and my kids, you know, as a standard suburban white male with, you know, who's married and all that, those are my activities on the weekend. But Ash wears, and this is like a new phenomenon, I guess, you know, how every woman wears yoga pants now, right? They all wear yoga pants now. Well, now the new trend, I guess, maybe out here in California, it might be nationwide, who knows, are these spandex biker shorts, like volleyball shorts, kind of, right? And Ash loves them, right? Ash loves them. They're super comfortable. They look great. I love it. You know, they suck right to her ass. It looks great. It jiggles and, you know, I'm very pleased with the shorts. You know, I love my wife. I find her super attractive and, you know, it's awesome. They're great. Problem is that she likes to wear these ass jiggling fucking painted on volleyball shorts or whatever the hell you want to call them out in public, which I'm not a controlling husband. Go ahead. I don't care. She's coming on with me. It is what it is. Please marvel at my wife's ass. But today, we literally are in the spray paint aisle because we got to do some spray painting on some shit. And there's this dude on a Jazzy. I guess that's what we call those things. Those little motorized carts that for people who are overweight or can't walk or have some other fucking infirmity, was riding, and he was in the spray paint aisle. And bro, this guy, he was a little overweight. Like his eyeballs were literally fucking glued to Ashley's fucking ass. I mean, if he could have crawled in her fucking asshole, he would have, bro. And Ash noticed it. And she's like, dude, that guy over there was literally just locked on my ass. I was like, well, this is what you get for wearing the ass jiggle shorts out in public. What do you expect? That would be the equivalent of me walking around with my tiny ass dick, you know, just like literally fucking strapped, you know, to like the inside of my thigh. Right. And then like, you know, maybe I could like unstrap it and like do little fucking helicopters and then like restrap it on. I mean, I would anticipate, you know, somebody taking a peek at it. Right. They'd probably sit there and be like, dude, look at this fucking guy, dude. He's got his tiny dong. He's helicoptering. It's wild. You know, that would be the equivalent, right? Because, I mean, it's all out there. It's hanging, you know, it's there for everybody to see. So we shouldn't be shocked. But I just thought it was so fucking funny, dude, because I saw it. And us men, dude, sometimes are just vile, vile creatures, right? Like, we just can't help it. We just can't help it. And that's not a cop-out. You know, it's like all dudes are the same, right? Like, oh, look, a girl in biker shorts. Oh, look, it's like painted on. Oh, look, an ass jiggling. Oh, look, look, some boobs. Oh, hey, check that out. Oh, another ass. Oh, let me check that out. Oh, hey, look, some more asses. And I just thought it was so funny how, you know, the dude was just so glued to her ass that it was wild. It was wild. So, ladies, don't be offended if, you know, random obese people on motorized scooters are staring at your ass when you're wearing those types of fucking shorts. That just comes with the territory. You know, that wasn't me trying to be sexist or anything like that. You know, you do you, wear whatever the hell you want. I guess girls don't wear bras nowadays. So, I mean, fucking shit is wild nowadays. You know, 2024, do your thing. But just know that you're getting fucking eye fucked by creepy guys in Lowe's all day. That is really all I have to talk about this week. It's been 44 minutes. I think I talked a lot longer than I thought I was even going to. I rambled a lot longer than I probably wanted to, and all of you are probably done listening, if we are being completely honest. Next week, we'll see if I can get a guest. That would be cool. I don't know if the internet connection in Greece is going to be up to snuff to get Hen on, but we'll see. We'll see. And if anything, I can probably maybe push the recording date you know, out so that I can talk to him, because, you know, it's better when we're together. And that's just a straight up fact. So I will get into, for the sake of consistency, I will get into our Creerens quote of the week. And since Hen's not here, he's going to love this. I got a saint for us. Ooh, a saint. A Catholic saint. Ooh, he's back at it again, dude. But we're going with St. Augustine again. And this one is really good. It kind of ties into what Henry's doing, right? He's doing like an experience and loving and enjoying life for what it is, and not, you know, wasting money on stupid shit like fucking sparkly napkins and crap like that. So here it is. It goes, I was unhappy, and so is every soul unhappy, which is tied to its love for mortal things. When it loses them, it is torn in pieces. And it is then that it comes to realize the unhappiness was there even before it lost them. Now, that's a very powerful quote. You can kind of marinate on that one. It's a powerful quote. You know, something I try to live by. Shiny thing. New fancy funny thing. New thing. That thing. This thing. Those things are going to bring me happiness. They're not. They're not. They never do. They never do. And what does is, like, you know, I'm a firm believer is doing what I was talking about, right? Like taking little moments to enjoy life, going out like Henry. He's in fucking Greece, seeing whales, eating tzatziki, you know, with his bride. You know, soaking that in. Now, I guess you could say that's a shiny trip, but it's an experience, right? It's not a tangible thing. You know, it's not like, hey, he's going to take Greece home with him. And then all of a sudden he's going to come home. And then 2 weeks later, he's going to be like, fuck, I'm so mad I bought this Greece. It's stupid. I don't want any more goddamn tzatziki. You get what the fuck I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? And when you can sit down and even just sharing like a laugh with a good friend, or like I said, like watching I have hummingbird feeders, watching a hummingbird fly super close to your face and then go into, like, you know, suckle on the hummingbird feeder. Suckle. That's a good sensual word. I like it. You know, doing things like that, you know, those are the joys of life, because shiny thing is going to do what shiny thing does. It's going to satisfy you for a very short time, and then it will fade. It always does till the end of time. So I'm going to get into another little fun thing, because I was really kind of scrambling. And like I said, I didn't think I was going to talk this much, but I'm going to go with a song of the week. And this one goes out to any of my hardcore or my metalhead friends. This is kind of a way throwback, and I don't even know, maybe West Virginia metalheads might not even know this band. But I'm going to go with Slings and Arrows by The Warriors. And if you guys are, if anybody's well-versed in the metal, you know, metalcore, hardcore, death metal scene, whatever, black metal, whatever the fuck you listen to, there's like 2,700 genres. There's a band called, Knocked Loose. And the vocalist sounds incredibly close to The Warriors vocalist. When I first heard them, I was like, dude, is this the fucking Warriors guy coming out of fucking retirement? And no, it's a different guy. But I just want to come and put this on record that Knocked Loose cannot hold the Warriors fucking jockstrap. And if you got a problem with it, you can suck my fucking dick, because this is old fucking scene shit from way back in the day, and I will fight you. So if you're in the mood for a really good, you know, old school hardcore song from the Warriors with a guy who screams real high pitched, listen to that song, Slings and Arrows, song of the week. Do it. And I guess that's it. Follow us on everything, please. You know, last week we really kind of hammered home sharing it. Please do that. Share it with somebody. You know, reach out. Say, hey, you want to listen to a fucking guy who is sitting in his room by himself and talks for 50 minutes by himself? Check it out. It's a good show. He has some, you know, stupid things to say, but, you know, it's entertaining, I think. That would mean the world to us. And if you haven't already, go and tell Hen and Kristen congratulations. Do that for them. Let's celebrate their love and their wonderful, wonderful trip and their wonderful time together. With that, I will end it like I always do. I love you, Hen. I love you, Kay, very much. Congratulations once again. And Hen will come in, and this is where he will say, be yourself and fuck what they think. And then I come with my little zipper by saying, hey, dude, this episode is not going to be edited, so you're not going to have any fancy songs. You're not going to have anything. It probably sounds like fucking shit. You're going to have to deal with it. Ha ha! Later, dude! Ha ha ha!